Doom do 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 doom do do. Doom do 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 do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 19. Oh, we're almost at 20. Of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. I hope that you and your plants can feel spring in the air wherever you are. I know I can feel it. It's coming. I'm so excited about today's episode because it has been a highly requested topic for the show from you guys and something I've been super curious to learn more about. Terrariums. I have spent little time on terrarium research, honestly, because I've really just been learning about my potted house plants. But wherever I look, whether it's on design sites, Instagram, or in stores, I feel like terrariums are everywhere and they look so cool. And the creativity and freedom within the art of making terrariums really does blow my mind. And speaking of creativity, we are so lucky to have the terrarium master, Jesse, from Teeny Tiny Terra, here with us to give us a basic how to make your own terrarium tutorial. Toronto-based Jesse has established quite the little creative niche for himself and his company, Teeny Tiny Terra, as the go-to terrarium artist with a really long wait list of people waiting to bring his creations into their home. You can find him teaching terrarium tutorials all over Toronto. Say that three times fast. Terrarium tutorials all over Toronto. And teaching his popular online workshops as well. This conversation left me so excited to make my own terrarium, and Jesse makes it so easy and unintimidating to understand, and I can't wait to share it with you. Also, stay tuned till the end of the episode because there's going to be a really fun new feature that I'm offering for Bloom and Grow listeners that's both helpful for you and supports the show at the same time. So stay tuned. I give more information after the interview. Enjoy our plant chat. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio, Jesse. Thanks for taking some time to talk terrariums with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because terrariums are really foreign to me. I really don't know much about them. I did a little bit of research to talk to you today, but I don't have one. I admire them on Instagram, but I don't really understand how they work. So I'm so excited to have the Teeny Tiny Terra expert with us.
Thank you.
So before we dive into your experience with plants, I just want to talk about how you are such a jack of all trades. you've worked at a printer, you've worked at a florist, you're a DJ for raves. And then were you a hairstylist too?
I worked in hair salons for a good, almost about 10 years. And it was fun. I wasn't a hairstylist. I was more behind the scenes and also managing.
Managing. Okay.
Yeah.
And now you're in digital marketing, which makes so much sense for being the terrarium social media influencer.
Yes, exactly. It's helped a lot. I'm fairly new to it. I've only been on Instagram for about a year and a half now. And
oh, wow.
I mean, I had a personal account, but I didn't set up sort of like a business or more of a plant account until about a year and a half ago. And it sort of thrived from there. It's just been allowing me to be very creative. And I don't know, it makes me want to try new things. I see a lot of people doing sort of the same thing that others are doing or posting other people's stuff. And when I started, I saw that and I was like, oh, I want to make the stuff that other people repost.
Totally.
You know?
I want to be the leader. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I just want to be creative.
That is so true about your photos. You are, and your terrariums. I mean, if you, Bloom and Grow listeners, if you are not currently following Jesse at Teeny Tiny Terra, go check his account out. Because your photos, like, you come up with the wildest concepts for terrariums.
I try.
Have you always been a creative type? Have you always been visual, always been artistic? Like, or has this been something you've developed as an adult?
Well, I wasn't that great at art. I couldn't draw. I still can't draw. My mm-hmm. daughter, who's almost six, can draw better than me. and she still wants me to keep drawing. But other arts, I've always been more into music, DJing, like doing that type of art. And I was more into like sports growing up. I did some kayaking and some hockey, but never really art until I met my wife, where she introduced me. She had two bonsai, and I fell in love with them, and they were all straggly and growing all crazy. They needed some upkeep, so I learned about how to prune them back and make them healthy and get them to back bud and create all these new shoots and start flowering, and then trim back the roots. And it's really fun, but you only get to do it essentially once a year, if that. You get to do it for some of them once every 2 years. And I liked the process of doing it. I found that interesting and, like, you know, rewarding. Once you have a kid, you're sort of stuck in the house. You don't want to go out. I mean, my raving days are long, long gone. And DJing was sort of just a pastime or like a hobby. And going out at night and then coming home to having a kid the next morning, you know, waking you up really early is not a great thing. So I said, well, I need a hobby that I can do at home. So I sort of picked up a couple more bonsai, and then my wife is like, you're crazy. You're filling up our house with plants and bonsai.
Oh my God, sounds like my boyfriend.
It's crazy. People go from 0 to 60 or 0 to 90 in like 2 days.
It's wild, yeah.
It really is nuts. So it went from there. It all started with bonsai, really. And then a person at my work asked if I'd ever made terrariums, because they're looking for a unique gift. So I started researching it, and then my wife Lauren got me a book. I can't even remember what the book was, but it was a book, like a basic terrarium book, and I was sort of hooked, and it's just bloomed from there, as you could say.
Blooming and growing.
Yeah, exactly.
P.S., I just have to say, saying sports and mentioning kayaking and hockey, I feel like you couldn't have given me a more Canadian answer.
Totally, eh? I am drinking a beer right now, too, eh?
Oh, I love it. I should have poured a glass of wine. We could have virtually cheersed. But, yeah, so you're from Toronto, just like episode 8 guest Daryl from Houseplant Journal.
That's right. I met Daryl about, I'd say, just over a year ago now. I met him on Instagram, and we actually found out that we live like 5 minutes away from each other. So we've become fast friends, and he's a great guy, super knowledgeable. I always feel like sort of in awe when he goes in depth about
oh my gosh, yes.
You know, plants, and like just the science behind it is crazy. He's very knowledgeable.
That's amazing. You guys are plant friends in real life.
Yeah.
Meeting IRL. On Instagram, IRL, hashtag plant friends IRL. That makes me so excited. Friendship February continues into March. I love that. So let's go back. So before we get into your terrariums, because I'm so fascinated at how you developed this incredible talent for them. Did you grow up with plants in your house? Did you grow up a green thumb before the bonsai from your wife? Like, or were plants just not in your life at all before?
Well, they were a little bit. As I said, I worked as a florist for a while.
Right.
And
okay.
It was a corporate events florist, so it was more labor. Mm-hmm. Than actually designing and stuff like that. Once you had a design, you had to replicate that design, you know, 200 times for a big banquet.
Right.
And then you had to lift these huge arrangements. And, of course, they're so awkward and they're so giant that you have to hold them so far away from your body that essentially it was just like a workout. It wasn't as glamorous as like, oh, you're a florist, you know?
Right. Well, it's so, also cut flowers, which I feel like cut flowers are a whole different ballgame.
Yes. It's very sad when people kill them like that.
I know. It's so funny. Mm. You know, when I was a succulent killer as an adult for the last 4 years, I loved cut flowers. I would get them every week. And now once I've gotten plants, I was like, what was I doing for 4 years? Yeah. These are dead. I'm not even trying to propagate them while they're in water, you know?
Well, you're saving them now.
Right, so. Exactly. That's what exactly. Houseplants save cut flowers. That's right. Yeah. I love that. So what does your current collection look like? Is it bonsai heavy? Do you have houseplants outside of your terrariums?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have lots of houseplants. A lot of my houseplants are a lot larger than the ones I feature in my images and on my feed.
Okay.
And I find it's hard to, I mean, I have a two-bedroom house here in Toronto, and we have a small north-facing window and a small south-facing window. We don't have too much space. I have two skylights upstairs, one in a bedroom and one in a bathroom, that I like to use in the winter to sort of keep my plants happy, but they're not thriving. Most of my houseplants actually do go outside in the summer, along with my bonsai, just so that it keeps the pests at bay. Being outside, the natural bugs attack the bad bugs, so that's good. But inside, yeah, it really helps, especially with with bonsai, you get so much scale. Scale is like my worst enemy right now. But putting them outside, instantly the scale goes away because natural bugs sort of feed on the scale. I do have a setup of grow lights. It's four tiers of grow lights on a metal shelving unit, and each emit about 10,000 K of lumens. Daryl's going to say, I can hear him cringing now, saying, they're foot candles.
Foot candles, right. They're foot candles.
Yeah, he does. I'm still waiting for him to teach me properly how to convert lumens to foot candles.
That's so funny. Well, so, on Bloom and Grow Radio episode of Grow Lights, we talk about lumens, so you're safe here.
Okay, good.
10,000 lumens is very good, though. So that's awesome. Okay, so you have a whole setup.
I do. Yeah, it's really helped me keep things alive, and also it's great for lighting. If I ever want to do a specific shot of something. Totally. I can move the plants aside, create a little backdrop with a Bristol board, and then take a shot.
Speaking of lighting and shots, you take such beautiful photos. And I was stalking you on Instagram, on Facebook today, and you have the funniest post for, I was giggling to myself, you have the funniest post for your year and wrap up for 2017 when you thank all the Instagram accounts who haven't featured your photos yet, being like, thanks for encouraging me to like keep becoming a better photographer so one day you will. Like, you totally called urban jungle bloggers out. You were like, thanks for not featuring me yet, but I can't wait to get on your feed. I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah. And I can't wait to see your photo get on urban jungle bloggers. Just
me too.
I was like, that's brilliant. That is so funny.
No negative vibes, just encouragement, right?
Right, so just encouragement.
No, there's some accounts out there I want to give a little nudge to.
Right.
But they encourage me, so that's good.
Totally. I mean, that's a beautiful perspective. I just love that so much. So how many terrariums do you have in your house? I just imagine your home being filled with all these glass, like, humid orbs everywhere.
I wish I could say that I have lots of them, but as soon as I make them, they're essentially gone. They're sold. Right. I can't really keep them. I have enough sort of plants on my plant shelf that I use and sustain so that I can add them to terrariums.
Okay.
But essentially, I've got not a back order of terrariums, but I have a list of people that I still need to get terrariums. And I don't like to rush them. So, some people have deadlines, and I always meet those deadlines. But other people are sort of like, make me a terrarium, and my budget is, you know, X amount. So I sort of get to it, and I like to sort of let the natural creativity come out so that I'm not just, you know, everyone looks the same. I sort of find that would be boring. That would be like a job. And this, again, is more of a hobby that I get to sell and get other people get to enjoy. So right now I'm looking at one. I did a workshop on Sunday, because it was family day here, family day weekend, which I know you guys had a holiday down in the States, but it was family day this weekend. So a family found my website and contacted me, the mother did, of this family, and she reached out and she said, I hear you do workshops, and I want you to come to my house for family day and do a workshop with my family. I'm going to surprise them.
Oh my gosh.
So it was so fun. I know. I as soon as I got there, the dad's like, "How are you going to top this next year?"
That's
that was pretty funny.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's mom goals right there. That's so creative and clever. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So the reason I brought that up was I'm sitting here with one in front of me. It's a cute little one. It's an open tropical terrarium. And I made that there because when I do a workshop, I'm not only showing them how to do it or instructing them how to do it, but I'm actually doing one as well. So they can see the layering process and they can see the different plant design that I do on the top.
Do you have a favorite terrarium you've ever designed? Or a favorite concept?
Yeah, there's been two that really stand out. One was for this lady who's a retail maven. She's like this huge name in the retail industry, and she was retiring from the company she helped bring from almost, you know, falling apart. She sort of built this company back together, and the senior executive said, you know what, we need a unique gift for this lady for her retirement. So I said, okay, this is great. I get to sort of come up with something that, you know, relates back to the company and then her as a person and her, like, her sort of, what do you call it, like, stature in the world and, like, her influence on the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, her contributions to the world. So I designed this very tall one with a rock that's coming out of the earth. It's a tall rock. It's almost like a slate. And I got this tiny little figure. It was part of a package of figures of golfers. These tiny little people that were all golfing. And I said, oh my gosh, I gotta find a lady holding a flag from this company. So I found these golfers and I modified a lady holding a golf club, you know, with her hand on her hip, acting like, oh, I just scored a hole in one or whatever.
Right.
And I modified it. I chopped off the golf club, made it a stick, and then, a flagpole. And then I painted a tiny, with the tip of a pin, I painted a flag from this company. It was insane. And then I got to paint. I found a tiny little canoe, and this company, I don't want to name drop, but this company is famous for their canoes. So I replicated one of their canoes. You can see it on my feed. It's way back. It's probably one of the first or second photos. But I got to paint this tiny little canoe. So when I presented it to her and the executive team, they were sort of blown away. By how it, you know, it was this lady planting a flag at the top of a mountain where there was a canoe representing the company she worked for. It was just,
oh my gosh,
it was perfect, you know.
That's amazing, because that must be so rewarding twofold. One, you just get to get paid to, like, be your most creative self. Like, you just get to get paid to do arts and crafts, number one.
Totally.
And number two, the gratification you must feel for perfectly encapsulating this woman in this completely unique gift that she can hopefully have and maintain in her house for the rest of her life. Like, seeing that look on her face must have been incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
Especially since you're hyper specific and hyper personalized for all of your clients. That mm-hmm. must be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part. I mean, you got to keep it fun. If it's not fun, again, it's just work. And everybody has a day job until they can, I don't know, make enough money being creative if they choose that route. And then hopefully they can continue being creative rather than mass production, which is boring.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled? Or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. So tell me, what does the journey look like from bonsai to like figuring out a terrarium, to reading about terrariums online and making your first one, to having a literal wait list of people wanting your terrariums and having an online terrarium course and partnering with West Elm and partnering with these huge brands to like teach terrariums? What's the terrariums, just with an S at the end? What's the plural of that? I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
I think it's just terrariums.
Just terrariums.
Yeah, it's not like bonsai.
Right. I don't know why I want to do that.
Bonsais.
Yeah. But yeah. So like, what does that journey look like? Because to me, it's so wild and so specific.
It's sort of fallen into place other than just wanting to be creative. And I find like, again, going back to the bonsai, you can't really be that creative. It's very slow going. Mm-hmm. And terrariums, you can bang them out in an hour and 2 hours, depending. I mean, some have taken me a lot longer than that, but you can bang them out a lot faster, which made me progress from bonsai because of the slow pace to terrariums that, I mean, you can come up with a concept, and if you have all the right equipment, you can make it pretty quick. And as for workshops, I just wanted to show other people how fun it is.
So is it just that like you started making them and selling them to your friends, and then you did one local workshop, and then all of a sudden like it just snowballed?
Yeah, essentially I was at my day job, and someone asked me if I'd make one for them. And I said, sure, yeah, it's great. And they're like, oh, how much is it going to be? And I was like, I don't know, $40 or something like that. And then they're like, okay, sounds great. And then I made it, and then I brought it to work to deliver to them, because they worked at a different office than I did. So I brought it to work one day that they were going to be there. And everybody sort of crowded around like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Some were like, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Right.
You know, and those are the people, you know, that aren't interested in plants. Everybody else that was interested in plants or, you know, on the fence was like, what is that? Can I get one? So it went from one to like four the next day.
Wow.
After I brought it. And then it's just snowballed from there. And then as for workshops, I wanted to teach other people how to do it. I saw that there was other people in other parts of the States and down in the States, that were doing sort of macrame workshops and stuff like that with West Elm. So I reached out to our West Elm. We have one West Elm, actually one just opened by my house now, but there was one West Elm in Canada. And it was like just down the, you know, it was like 20 minutes away. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go and talk to someone and say, I'm here to hold a workshop. Let's line this up. So I got it all set up. It was great. I had, like, you know, the date firmed and, like, how many people. And I got everything firmed up with this lady. And then she, like, I get no response from her, like, you know, when we're starting our next steps of, like, okay, we're going to start marketing it or whatever. And there was no response. And I was like, oh, no. So I messaged their Instagram. And the lady said, oh, I'm so sorry. She's no longer with the company. Oh my gosh. I had to start from scratch all over again and sell the second person on how amazing I am and how I want to come in and, you know,
how perfectly suited you are for Westdale, right?
Exactly. So that all worked out. She loved it. I came in. I taught 8 people the first time, and they left with their own terrariums, and it was super fun. I mean, the way I like to teach is more of having a friend over and teaching you how to do it rather than like, okay, we're going to go through these steps one by one. Like, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That's so awesome.
It was so fun that I think halfway through the class, she pulled me aside. The lady from Westdale was like, so when are you coming back?
That's so cool. And do you feel like the more experienced you get, the easier it is for you to just get more and more out of the box and creative and experimental?
Totally. Totally. I like it. Also, I like it when someone comes sort of with a challenge, I had a friend. Okay. So this is another one of my favorite ones, mm-hmm. which was, I had a friend who said, I want a terrarium for my girlfriend. I was like, okay, great. Like, do you have any idea of what, like, how you want it, what do you want to pay? And he's like, I don't know, just a terrarium. And I said, well, what do you like to do? Do you have a dog? Do you have, like, so I knew that he was like an avid gamer. He's close to 40, but he's a gamer, which is kind of strange, but he thinks my plant addiction is strange. So, so I knew he was a gamer. I knew he had a dog, and he likes to play video games with his girlfriend. So I came up with this idea. I want to do a gaming terrarium. So essentially, I found an Xbox. It was an Xbox someone was throwing out in our neighborhood on the street. So I found an Xbox, and I got to smash it apart, which was really fun and kind of weird.
Cool.
I smashed it apart and I took out the front, circuit board out of the front of it and cut it all up. And then I went to a store that had a little lighting. It was essentially Christmas miniatures with like a lamppost with a light in it. And I took the light out of the lamppost and I waterproofed it all with this special tape. And then I went to build my terrarium, but before I started, I drilled a hole in the glass of the terrarium down close to the bottom, but not
so fancy.
Too close. Yeah, it was quite intricate. I had to use a fancy diamond bit to cut through the glass, and so I cut through the glass and I ran the wire for the light through the soil as I built it and to the top of the soil, where I soldered this light onto the circuit board so that essentially you could turn on the terrarium and a little light would light up on the circuit board. And then there was like figures on top and a little tiny dog. So that was my most rewarding one and also most creative when it came to like getting to be, you know, work out of the box.
Talk about over-delivering, too. Your friend was probably like, yeah, like, make my girlfriend a terrarium. And you're like, let me make the most intricate, fancy, clever thing you've ever seen. He must have been so blown away.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet he killed it in a week, though.
Okay.
He was just busy. Right. He was busy playing video games.
Busy playing video games. That's wild. Well, now I think we have to transition into you teaching me the basics of how to make a terrarium, because hearing all of your stories, I'm getting so excited. So let's dive in.
Okay. So we're going to start with something like I made for this workshop that I did on the weekend, which is an open tropical terrarium. Tropical meaning a little bit lower lighting needing plants. So the requirements of them are sort of like if you were in a jungle under the canopy,
right.
You have those types of plants. So some of the plants that I like to use are Fittonia, or the nerve plant, parlor palms, Peperomia pixie, some ferns, moss, which is a little bit harder to balance in a terrarium. Also, Peperomia pixie is fun because it sort of shoots out aerial roots when it's moist. So one of the stalks going up, you'll see aerial roots coming off, which is kind of neat. Umbrella plants are great, but the roots grow very long and very fast.
Right.
So you'll see them sort of intertwining in the rocks and stuff like that. Ficus, everybody loves that. Almost if you go on Instagram or online, you'll see a lot of pot belly figs, which is a type of ficus in a terrarium. And those can be bought at most nurseries and stuff like that.
These are good. I'm a dummy. So when it comes to this, so is there, when it's closed versus open, is it the type of plant, do you choose open versus closed based on which plant you're using, or is it just an aesthetic moment?
There's two things I'd say. One being open ones are a little bit easier to start out with.
Okay. So for a beginner, I should do open.
I'd say open. A lot of open terrariums are the cactus or the succulents, mm-hmm. but I like to start people out on an open one because you can sort of control the water a little bit more. I found that starting with a closed one, which I've done before with people, they overwater it and the lid's closed. So you're essentially just creating a little swamp, which nobody likes. Nobody likes that.
Because closed, so, you have to kind of moderate the airflow yourself by opening and closing it, right? So that's going
to
be
best to like keep it open for a couple hours a week when it's a closed one, just to let some fresh air in there, and also to let the plants dry out a bit. I don't think there's many plants other than like super aquatic plants that like to constantly be wet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then
go ahead.
And then the tropical, so this is an open tropical because you're also supposed to pair plants that would obviously live together in nature, right? So no succulents and ferns or whatever.
Yeah. I've put ferns together with tropicals, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to do a cactus and a succulent. They both have completely different requirements, as do tropicals. Right. So pick either a succulent, an air plant terrarium, or a cactus one, or the tropical. Yeah.
Got it. That's
okay,
really
so
helpful.
Vessels.
Yes.
Where I get my vessels is anywhere and everywhere. I sort of scour garage sales, vintage shops, stuff like that. Places that have unique vessels. Also, I found that things like hurricane candle holders are good. They're long, tall, and they're usually cheaper when you get them from a big box store.
Okay.
And
I love your teensy tiny little beaker one.
Oh, I know. Isn't it cute?
It's the cutest. And you can do like a mason. Like, I think maybe for my first one, you can do like a mason jar, right?
You can do essentially anything.
Anything that's glass, right? It just has to be glass?
No, it doesn't have to be glass. I like glass so you can see in it, so you can see the layering. Mm-hmm. Also, the benefit of having a houseplant with glass where you can see in it is you know when it's dry. You know when its roots are too wet. You know, like you can see in there, which is great.
I love it.
Okay. So I'll just go over the materials quickly that you'd need. So for materials, you obviously need a vessel. You need your plants. You need some soil. A basic potting soil is good. Don't do a soil that you'd use for your garden because there's lots of bugs in there.
Right.
You need some river pebbles. So small little pebbles, about, I don't know, half an inch or even smaller. You need some sphagnum moss, as I call it at my house. some charcoal, so activated charcoal. And what that does is it keeps the terrarium nice and fresh and clean. Some chopsticks. I use a chopstick to poke holes, to move stuff around. Some tweezers, some long tweezers.
Yeah, I've seen some on your Instagram. You have like all sorts of instruments.
Yes. It's like a mad scientist workshop.
A mad scientist. Totally.
Yeah. A regular kitchen spoon. And then something to tamp down the soil. So what I usually use is a champagne cork put on the end of a chopstick just to push down the soil if you can't reach in there with your hand. Some decorative rocks on the top or shells and anything you really want to put on the top, some figures or toy animals, and then a mister. A mister helps. Sometimes I say be careful with a mister because you are using glass, and as you know, with glass, you sort of get these water stains if you leave water on the glass. So you can either use a mister, but it's best to use something like either a spoon and drop the water directly down to the base of the root, the base of the plant, so that you don't disturb your scene at the top, and also so you don't touch the glass. So for the vessel, I'd say find a nice one that suits you and your space. And then for plants, go to your local nursery and tell them what your plan is, what type of terrarium you're going to build.
Okay.
And then if they look perplexed or not helpful, then don't buy them from them.
Yeah. Go someplace where the people working there can really help you and know all the different species of plants.
Exactly. Okay, so you're going to want to prep your materials. Just like in cooking, you want to do like a mise en place, which means everything in its place.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
So what I like to do is I get a bowl for each thing that I'm going to be putting in there. Whether it's a small bowl, they don't have to all look the same. Just a bowl to separate them, just like you would when you're doing a stir fry. You sort of chop everything up and you keep it in little quadrants.
Okay.
So you want to dampen, so after you've got everything in place, you want to dampen your moss, your sphagnum moss, and you want to damp, not wet.
Okay.
And then you want to clean your vessel well, very well, with warm soapy water and dry it completely. If you leave it wet, then essentially you're going to create a little bit of muck in there.
Okay.
Okay, so essentially, when you're building, you want everything to be pretty dry, other than a little bit of damp sphagnum moss. And that way you're working clean, and you're not moving mud around.
And then then it's in your power to water as much as you want after and not have to deal with whatever the residual water is. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Wash it with warm soapy water and then remove all of your plants from the nursery pots they came in. This is important because most of the time or some of the time you might find bugs in there. Most nurseries that you get stuff from will use either herbicide or some sort of insecticide to get rid of any bugs. But you just want to do a final little check to make sure that there's none in there. And you also want to remove some of the loose soil. We're going to be adding our own soil in there, and we're going to be adding our own stuff into the terrarium. So we don't want essentially all the soil that came with those.
Okay.
So I like to see a little bit of the roots. I like to see if they're white. If they're all brown, that means they're dead. But roots should be a nice white color so that you can see that they're healthy.
Okay.
Okay, and then for assembling, I'll get into the assembling here, but I just want to say I won't get too detailed. I've never sort of spoken about assembling it on a radio show, so I like to be visual. I'm doing everything with my hands while I'm saying it. But,
that's funny.
I'll do my best to convey the visual through your headphones or speakers.
I'm sure you'll do great. Yes.
Thank you. So we start with our clean, dry vessel, and we're going to add about an inch or so of the river pebbles to the bottom. And we want to fill up any holes with smaller pebbles. So what we're looking for is a straight level of these.
Okay.
And we want to make sure that they're touching the edges of the vessel, and that if we put something on top, that it wouldn't fall through little cracks and crannies and cracks, or whatever you say.
Okay. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
So next is add a layer of the sphagnum moss. And then what you're doing with this moss is you're creating sort of a little bed that the soil will live on. And you'll also separate the soil from the rocks. This moss will create almost like a filter, like a coffee filter from the soil going into your rocks.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so this will make it so that you can't, so you can continue to see the layers.
Okay, cool. So rocks, moss, soil.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So yeah, you want to put about, I'd say an inch thick of this. And then you want to make sure that there's no way that if you put soil on top that it would go through that and down into the rock. So okay. Pat it down, use your hand, use the back of your hand or the back of your fingers, and then your damper if you're using that. So the chopstick with the cork on it, push it down nice and tight. And then what we're going to do is we're going to add a little bit of some of the charcoal at this stage. We can add it right on top of the moss. You're looking for about a sprinkling. A good, I'd say maybe a quarter handful. How's that?
Okay, so you want to like see it. It should be thick enough that you can see it on top of the moss.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's going to keep it nice and clean. And then next we're going to create a thin layer of soil. So we're going to put some of your soil in. You can use a spoon. You can use your hand. Put it in the center of your vessel on top of the moss. And then sort of work it out to the edges and create it so that it's in the center is sort of a lower point or like a hole. You're going to make a hole big enough so that you can add all of your plants in.
Okay.
And this is just a little bit of soil. Essentially, when you put your plants in, your first plant in, you're going to add more soil. And then your next plant, you're going to add more soil. So this is just a thin layer of soil so that when you do add a plant, you have a base to sort of move it around in.
Okay, cool. For the roots to kind of sit on at the bottom.
Exactly. Okay. And then, yeah, every time you add a plant, so I'd suggest start with your shortest plant. The reason you want to start with your shortest plant is your hand is going to be in there quite a bit. If you start with your largest or tallest plant, you're going to have to sort of maneuver around that plant every time you go back in there.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. So start with your smallest one, put it in place. Going back to bonsai, just for a second. Mm-hmm. With bonsai, there's always a focal point of a plant, of one of the trees. You're looking for one angle, just like you'd look at your TV. Your TV is viewed essentially from one angle.
Right.
You're looking directly at it. So think about your terrarium like that. You want to make a focal point. You want to sort of squat down and look at it directly on and say, where do I want to put stuff? Do I want, you know, the tall tree at the back? Probably so that if you put the tall tree or a tall plant at the front, then you won't be able to see the back. So keep that in mind when you're placing your plants. You want to sort of start with your smaller things and sort of off to the side and up front.
Okay.
That's what I usually do. And then again, as you put it in, add a little bit of soil and sort of move it around the roots. So you're slowly covering up the roots. And the more soil you add around it, the more you'll be able to sort of move it around. If it isn't in the right place, you can just sort of shimmy it over to the right or to the left or front or back. And then when we eventually have all of our plants in there, we can add a lot more soil, and that what that's going to do is it's going to sort of fortify them or nestle them into where they're going to eventually live for good. So yeah, start with the small one, work your way to the tallest or largest.
So if you have a plant that has roots that are more than like an inch thick, I've seen that you can kind of just trim them back and that's okay.
Yeah. Depending,
so just like depending, give them a good chop.
Depending on the type of plant, I would never cut the roots of a fern because ferns are finicky.
Okay.
They are really like, they don't like to be touched or looked at or
watered. You can't look them in the eye. You really can't.
Yeah. They'll stare you down.
High maintenance. I've almost killed my Boston fern. Like I dropped it and the pot smashed and I like left it. I just threw it in a pot and left it there for 3 days. So like, it's really mad at me right now, but I've almost killed this fern like so many times. I'm not a good fern mom.
ferns are one of the hardest ones I've found to work with.
Yeah, totally.
That's why like, as I'm starting to notice that working with people in their first terrarium, it's more easy to work with plants that are a little bit hardier, like the palms and the phytonias.
That's
stuff
good.
Like that.
Okay, I'm going to go look at those plants for my first terrarium, palms and petunias. Okay, good.
Yeah. So going back to this, once you have your plants sort of in place, mm-hmm. and when I build these things, I like to think about it sort of like as a yin and the yang, or like balancing when it comes to building these. Like, you don't want it to look like it's been built. Think about nature. Think about how nature doesn't really replicate itself over and over and over. Mm-hmm. You'll never see the same thing twice in nature. So think about uneven numbers when you build terrariums.
Interesting. Okay.
Ones, threes, fives, you know, you don't want two of the same plant side by side, because it sort of looks like they were placed there, unless right. you're going for that look. I mean, we're not building a French garden here. We're building something that sort of mimics right. nature. Totally. So,
oh, that's so interesting. I would have never thought of that.
Okay. So we have our plants in. Now we're going to add a bunch more soil. And again, this will help nestle the plants in where they live. And then we're still going to add more soil. But one thing I want to do now is tamp down the soil, or squish it all down so that the roots are nice and firm. You don't want the soil all loosey-goosey, so that when you water it, the soil just runs right through it. You want it quite compact. And then I'd say we're going to start building a scene on the top. So depending on what you have to add to the scene, whether it's a little figure or, you know, a toy from your childhood or something like that, I would stay away from wooden figures. I don't tend to add a lot of organic stuff, organic materials other than the plants and the soil.
Okay.
So the reason I don't add stuff like a wood or a log that's been sitting out that you found in the forest or stuff like that is that this is creating more moisture that you can't control or regulate as easily.
Totally.
And also there's probably pests in there. So
right,
there's probably
bugs
don't know in there.
Exactly. If it's not sterilized. And when you know it's a plastic figurine, you know it's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, there's no funk on that.
Where do you find your figurines? Do you, like, go to, in the States, we have Michaels. Like, do you have an arts and crafts store that you just visit
yeah,
once
a week?
Yeah,
we have Michaels here.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we have Michaels here, and they're great. I've started working with a company out of Florida as well, called Safari Limited. They've got some great stuff. And then everywhere, essentially going back to, like, garage sales and, like, old porcelain figurines.
Oh, totally. I read too. I think that's it would be such a cool way if you have like old toy cars from your childhood, or like stuff maybe from your kids that you don't want to throw out. Like, that's such a cool way to, I hate to use the word upcycle, but
yeah,
that's so trendy right now, but but it's such an interesting way to like incorporate maybe sentimental things you might not want to part with.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it makes it individual.
Totally. Totally.
Again, we're not looking to mass market anything here.
Right.
We want to make it sort of your own.
Yeah. Especially not a teeny tiny terrarium.
Yes.
So we've tamped everything down.
Now we're going to add our soil toppers, what they call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like sort of more decorative rocks. That's not the pebbles at the bottom. It could be like an, you know, like a crystal or something like that. A healing crystal, something like
some rose quartz.
Exactly, your birthstone.
Right, some onyx. Exactly.
I would stay away from some metals because you're dealing with moisture in here.
Right.
If you're going to add metals, know that it's probably going to rust over time.
Okay.
So you don't want to add grandma's old wedding ring or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, good idea. Very good. Okay. Good. I totally would have
The reason I brought that up was I made a little mossarium for someone to propose to, to their fiance. It was pretty cool.
That is amazing.
Yeah, you can check it out in my feed. I think it was like 3 weeks ago I posted it or something like that. Okay, so whatever you're going to add on top, just keep in mind that you don't want to just throw it onto the top of the soil. You want to make it look like it was there for 100 years or however long. Mm-hmm. You want to make it look like it just wasn't chucked in there. So again, you're going to want to sort of put it down or place it somewhere that isn't going to distract from the aesthetic of it or the angle that you're going to look in. I always like to put it sort of off to the side and then something in the center. But if you put it into the soil a little bit, then add a little bit more soil around it so it's sort of poking out of the soil.
Okay.
If you don't do that, it looks like it was just thrown in.
Right.
So, and then what I usually do after that is I create depth with a bunch of different colored soils or sands and different sizes of sands. So the one I'm looking at right now has some black aquarium gravel in the back, which is sterilized aquarium gravel. I guess you can just buy it at any aquarium shop. And then there's some like micro sands and volcanic sands and stuff like that that I've gotten from specialty shops. And then there's one large black river stone, just like the pebbles that were in the bottom. This one's about four times the size of it, and it's sort of nestled into the terrarium under the soil so that just about a quarter of the rock is showing.
Okay.
And that creates like almost like a little hill in there, even though it is just a rock.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you want to create depth. And again, think of nature. I'm not going to add fluorescent rocks to this. I'm not going to add different layers of beach sand, making it look like little mountains under the soil and stuff like that. Mine always tend to look a little bit more organic. So
I love it.
I'm
giggling. I'm like giggling to myself because I'm thinking we have these like shower doors in our bathroom that shattered the other day. And they shattered into this safety glass. So I have bags and bags and bags of blue square safety glass that my boyfriend wanted to throw out. And I was like, no, we can use it for drainage, like in pots. But I'm like, maybe I'll incorporate it into my terrarium.
Totally. That would work.
And I'm seeing like a bathroom scene. Like maybe I could find a little tub, like figurine.
Yeah. Or a little lady on the toilet.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's okay. That's what I'm gonna do. That's what I have to get to work on.
Okay, you have to post that so we can all see it.
I will, I'll tag you in it. That's hilarious. Okay,
just don't do a side by side comparison of you actually on
that. No, I would get my Instagram account would get deleted, Instagram reported. Okay, anyway,
okay. So at this stage, you're I'd say that you're pretty much done.
Right.
The one thing that I'd like to go over, which I sort of touched on a little bit before, was watering.
Yes.
When you're watering these things, don't get a big, huge, your beautiful Haas watering can and dump water on top of it. You're going to get watermarks all over the glass, and also you're going to disturb this kind of scene that you just created. So you don't want to mess up all of that. If you have sort of created a mountain or some sort of reservoir or something like that in the terrarium, all the water is just going to run straight to the lowest point in the terrarium and not necessarily go to the roots of the plants. So what I usually use is a turkey baster, good old turkey baster.
Oh, that's smart.
It enables you to get right down to the base of the plants and also control it pretty well.
Okay.
Also to note, less is more. I like to stress that with the plants as well. These plants need to grow in there. They're not just there to be fancy. They're there. They're living. They're in soil. They need room to grow just like we do. We don't want to be in a tiny little box.
And with the watering too, the water is going to evaporate a lot slower than in your like terracotta pot that your normal houseplant is in. So I would imagine we water a lot less frequently than we would as well. Okay.
Exactly. Terracotta is pretty porous and it actually sucks out the moisture from your plant. And then creates that like white stuff on the sides. For this, again, less is more. The beauty of working with glass is you can sort of see when your soil is nice and moist. Also, if you've watered too much, you'll see a whole bunch of water down in the rocks in the bottom. So if that happens, don't water it for I'd say a week or 2 weeks even, until that sort of gets sucked up into the moss and then the soil. If you do see your plants a little limp, add a little bit of water to the top of the soil, mm-hmm. but again, right at the base of the plants.
And should you be misting as well, especially, I guess, if it's a tropical plant, or the water is going to evaporate and kind of self-mist?
Yeah, some plants you do need to mist. For these, essentially, I don't really mist them. If a plant, like if you can see a leaf or sort of a stalk of a leaf or a stem looks a little dry, then you can give it a little mist. But yeah, the moisture is essentially going to evaporate up and you'll be okay.
I feel like you just did such a good job explaining all of that. I feel ready to go make my terrarium. The one thing I was going to say was this was a really great basic, but for people who already know how to do that and want to like up level their terrarium game, do you want to tell us about your workshop and like what else you offer and what else we could look forward to learning if we were to take your class?
Sure. So I've just set it up right now. There's going to be two different types. One is going to be sort of an online course where there's videos and instructions laid out, or you can buy or do a one-on-one, which will be like a Skype or a Google Hangout, depending on what you prefer, and we'd build a terrarium together. You'd build one on your end, I'd build one on my end, and I'd go through the tips and tricks, also go over plant styling, how to create a proper scene, and where to get some of the materials. And yeah, it was sort of like, again, like having your friend over to teach you, but you're both looking at screens.
Via Skype. Wait, that's really cool. So if I was to do a Skype session with you, would you like send me the materials ahead of time, or you would like send me a list and then I would go get the materials and then we would Skype together?
It can be a little bit of both.
Okay.
With cross-border laws, I can't ship plants right now to the States.
Okay.
But I can tell you where to go and what to get. And then some of the materials, if you did want to order from me, I can easily ship them. But again, they all have to be non-organic. So like rocks. I mean, rocks are organic, but non-living.
It sounds like the thing that's so special about you, and I think why you have such a wait list with your clients too, is that everything sounds really hyper-personalized. So it sounds like you work with each person and figure out what they need and hook them up.
Exactly.
But it's cool to have the online video course too, where if you're just wanting to do something fun and have a new challenge, that you could just kind of click through the video class at your own rate as well.
Exactly.
So normally I ask everyone, why should everyone have a house plant besides the fact that they help clean the air and, you know, all those basic explanations? But I want to ask you, why should everyone have a terrarium, or why should everyone try making a terrarium once in their houseplant journey?
I'd say everyone should try to make a terrarium because it's very calming. It's soothing. You get to be creative. No two are alike, which makes it individual. Mm-hmm. Also, making it with someone is really fun. I often make them with my daughter. Actually, the one that is still living in my bathroom from over 2 years ago is the one that my daughter and I threw together as a sort of like a little weekend project, which is really cute and fun, and we get to see it all the time. It's a great art piece. And also, doing something with plants for 3 hours a week is known to reduce heart disease and risks of complications from heart disease. There's this one lady. Her name is Diana Bexford Kroger, and she is an environmentalist.
She wrote a book, right?
It's called The Sweetness of a Simple Life. And this lady is insane. She's so great. She's had documentaries on TV about trees and plants and stuff, and she goes through the science of it to the point where you're like, I want to move to the forest.
And where can we find you on all of your social media so we can keep tabs on you and check your website out and all that good stuff?
Sure. So my website is teenytinyterra.com, and then my Instagram is at teenytinyterra, as well as my Twitter, which I rarely go on, but I like to go on and see what everybody's ranting about. And then Facebook is facebook.com/teenytinyterror.
Thank you, Jesse.
So everyone go follow Jesse and his terrarium adventures. And I think that that terrarium workshop, the online one Jesse mentioned, would make an amazing gift for your loved one's next birthday or holiday. Wasn't that an amazing conversation? I am so excited to make my own terrarium, whether it's going to be bathroom themed as we discussed or not. We'll see how I'm feeling. But if you feel inspired to make your own terrarium, I have some exciting news for you, plant friends. I have partnered with kit.com, K-I-T.com, which is a website where I've compiled all of my favorite planty recommendations for you all in one convenient place. The coolest and most exciting thing about this website for me is that Bloom and Grow Radio receives a portion of the sales of whatever purchases you make through my suggestions on the site, and they are at no extra cost to you. So you get to support your planty dreams and this show all at the same time at no extra cost. Everybody wins. So I've made several kits that correspond to different episodes and having different products that we've discussed. So I put together a kit for this terrarium episode, and I had a lot of fun compiling the basic things we discussed, but also I chose some of my favorite figurine ideas, some cool vessel ideas, and I gave you a couple of links to some pre-packaged terrarium-in-one type kits. So if you don't want to buy, you know, big bags of pebbles and charcoal and dirt and vessels and all that kind of stuff, you can go buy just one kit that has just enough of all the materials to make one terrarium. And I'll also use the website as a place for me to put different planty wish lists and gift guides and more fun DIY things. So it's pretty cool. If this excites you as much as it does for me, go take a look at www.kit.com/bloomandgrowradio. The link will be in the show notes. Keep blooming and keep growing. And if you make a terrarium based off of this episode, please tag me, Bloom and Grow Radio, and Jesse, Teeny Tiny Tara, and show us what you did. Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.